Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, for this week's industry review, we're taking a look at DJing in Ireland. I'm delighted to be joined by three DJs here in the studio. We've got Mark McCabe, Aoife McKenna, and Robbie Kitt. Good afternoon. You're all very welcome to us here in the studio. Robbie, we might start with you. You go by the name of Orchid, or Orchid, I presume.
Yeah, Orchid, yeah.
As in the flower. So tell me about the decision that some artists, why you would use a stage name, or is there any advantage to using a said name?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm not going to lie, through the history of me being a musician, I've gone through a few different names.
Right.
I do think it is like, listen,
reinvention.
Yes, exactly. This is like, I suppose it is it's a luxury that you have at your disposal as a musician, that you can reinvent yourself under whatever kind of stage name you want to present yourself as. Like, I think, you know, it's one of those things where if you're in a performer role, it is useful to kind of separate that in some way from your personal identity. And like, to be honest, that could lead you into all sorts of tricky routes in terms of your confidence in yourself and your own identity. You don't want to wrap those two things up too tightly, in my opinion. So yeah, it's always good to give a little bit of separation.
Tell us a little bit about your world in terms of it's probably not a very predictable job in terms of, you know, you do different things every day. You obviously work on social hours. What's the world of being a DJ actually like? Give our listeners a sense of that.
Yeah, I suppose it's incredibly, there's a lot of variety to it for sure. You definitely get to, like, I suppose one of the amazing things about working in music in general is that you kind of end up experiencing so many different types of workplaces. And just even speaking for myself, I know probably all of us have very different journeys in music and have different experiences. But like, in my own experience, is that you never really have too much of a foresight of how things are going to go. Maybe you might have a vision of the 6 to 12 months period in front of you of where it's going to go. But beyond that, it really is kind of a cliff face. And you're kind of just pushing that cliff face away for your entire career, really. And you find yourself working in all different types of areas. So like, I actually was even remembering, I think I actually one time did sound technician for an outside broadcast for Down to Business with Bobby Kerr. So like, you find yourself in
that's
all
not for faint hearted, I can tell you.
Exactly, yes.
Let's bring in our next guest, Aoife McKenna. Aoife, you're very welcome to the programme. And I know you've been involved in documentaries about the history of Irish dance music, folklore from the dance floor. Tell us about that, and tell us about your knowledge and indeed the history of this great business.
I suppose I've been doing it for 31 years. So I started when I left school. I just fell in with that, a good job, I think. I just enjoyed it straight away. I had all, before, I suppose, the dance rave scene, I was already an alternative kid. So I was going out to interesting clubs and stuff. So it was quite natural for me to get involved with it. I was promoting initially, and then I got into DJing. But with folklore from the dance floor, I think I made it in 2012 or 2012 it came out. I did the recordings a little bit before that, but at the time there was nothing documented.
So it was the history of Irish club culture.
Yeah, so I kind of started, I suppose I was kind of reflecting on my own timeline, late 80s, maybe even kind of going back to late 70s, where the alternative scene had happened and then that crossover to dance. So I did it all the way up until 2012. So it's a 6-part series.
And what about the kind of hard slog stuff, hauling gear out of the back of a hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning and dealing with drunks God knows what else? All those stories that you'd have along the way.
Yeah, I'm still a vinyl DJ, so I'm still lugging around a bag of records.
You never changed from vinyl. You've always stayed with it.
No.
Because to you, that's the purity of it, is it?
Not really. It was just what I knew, what I learned. I just liked that format.
Yeah.
The digital thing, I suppose, passed me a bit, and then it kind of got popular again. So I put so much work into collecting the vinyl that I just stuck with it.
That's really why. Great.
But sometimes you will find me carrying turntables as well as as vinyl bags.
Now, and our third guest is Mark McCabe. Mark, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Now, some listeners may know you for this.
I can see it in your eyes, by the way, that you've had a few moments.
I'm a Pink Floyd guy. I'm way too old for all you lads. Tell us about that. Now, that is Maniac 2000, the second biggest record ever recorded in Ireland. A wonderful stat. You talked then about Spotify, 30 million hits. Do you make any money on that, Mark?
No.
Does 30 million hits mean anything financially?
No, like a million streams, I think it equates to roughly €3,000.
Okay.
So, right. But that's, you know, that's not directly to the artist.
Of course.
That's split between whatever label they're signed to and that. So it sounds far more impressive than it actually is, unfortunately.
But we have to talk things up. Yeah. I totally agree with that. But tell us then a little bit about your world. You're an Irish music producer, a remixer, a radio DJ, a club DJ, and you merge all these things together, but essentially you create music.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I do. So, I mean, in order for it to make sense for me financially as a business, you know, if we're looking at it like that, there's no just being a DJ and that's it. Like,
right.
You're very lucky if that is your life, but it's, you know, a very short window of time that happens. So to be getting away with it as long as I've been getting away with it, I suppose I've had to sort of, you know, realize that there's various different things you need to do. So for me, a week could be voiceovers one day, producing a sync for a film the next day, producing, you know, a banging record the next day, recording a radio show. So sort of mixing it all. It's all in the industry, but it's very much sort of...
It's the sum of the parts that equals a living.
Exactly.
Is really what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so, you'll pretty much do anything within the sphere to fulfill that need.
For sure. Yeah. You know, learning every day new things and new experiences. And like, it's an industry that I've been involved in since I was 12 years of age.
Right. When we talk about, and I'd like to get your view on this, because it's an industry that's no doubt changed. And Eva, again, as somebody who's chronicled, you know, the evolution and the history of, like, if we now look at even the number of clubs is a fraction of what it was in the old days. Even if you go down the country to the, you know, the DJs that played after the bands in the hotel or the pub 4 miles out the road, they're all gone.
Yeah.
So the number of venues per se is hugely diminished.
It's really
I right in saying that?
Yeah, it's having a devastating effect on our nighttime economy, just in general.
Yeah.
There's not as much to do. So there's a lot, we're a bit lost. And I know I'm from an older generation of, you know, DJs or people that go out. I still go out a lot. I'm out gigging a lot. But even for our young people, you know, I think, God, I thought it was tough back in the day for us. But we were a little bit more spoiled and we had a little bit more choice. We still had loads of problems. It wasn't perfect, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a huge loss. Currently,
if we stand back from it a minute and say, right, well, surely young people have a greater, at least the same love of music that my generation had. They maybe consume music differently. Is technology one of the villains in this, whereby, you know, any song, any piece of music is available anywhere? With the way, has that driven the marketplace out of the clubs?
Yeah, I'm sure it has. And the other way, you know, we're so lucky because there's so much amazing music being made here in Ireland. We didn't have that in the 90s.
Sure.
You know, like we weren't exposed even to making music or having studios and things like that. So, I'm sure it does have an effect, but it doesn't explain why there's such a shortage of nightclubs, anyone.
What are your thoughts on this, Robbie?
Yeah, well, I've been involved in a campaign trying to change licensing laws and kind of modernise conditions for nightlife for the last 6 years. It's been going since 2004. It's called Give Us the Night. And so on the point you made about the loss of venues, we've gone from, at the turn of millennium, around 520 nightclubs in the country. Now it's around 87. So we've lost...
That's a wipeout.
Yeah, over 80% of the stock of nightclubs. And so I think, kind of to your point about like digital technologies, definitely in terms, I don't know necessarily if like, you know, streaming and kind of audio digital technologies have really kind of acted as a competitor, but I think what is seen as kind of almost an invisible competitor to the whole kind of nighttime economy industry is things like Netflix and social media companies, because they're actually vying for the same type of,
and maybe that just
commodity,
people
basically
don't go out as much anymore,
this
that
is it,
they do,
you know,
their entertaining at home, or they do their socializing in a different way.
But having said that, we don't have nightclubs to go out to.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like I think if you were out having a meal or at the cinema, you might fall into a nightclub. But that option isn't there anymore. So,
yeah.
Because it irritates me when people say they don't go out anymore. They would if they could.
Right. Yeah.
I think, like, the conditions, unfortunately, for businesses, we were kind of just talking about this before as well. It's like, it's an unfortunate reality that, just given the society we live in and where kind of capital seems to be flowing, there's not a huge amount flowing into the provision of infrastructure,
sure,
in the nighttime economy. And then that's just a real kind of, it just leads on to this malaise, I suppose, amongst the public, where they're like, it's not worth our while to go out, because unfortunately there's not that many. There are some really great venues who are investing in their spaces and I think reaping the rewards of that investment, but it's not a real immediate investment that they'll kind of see return back on. It's more of a long-term thing.
Okay.
And because without that kind of long-term thinking within the industry, given the loss that we've had over the last 20 years in terms of the stock of nightclubs, it's a really difficult landscape at the moment, really.
Mark, can I come back to you maybe on a more positive note? What Irish DJs are doing here in terms of their craft, is there a market for that in New York, in Ibiza, in London?
For sure, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that and maybe some of the opportunity that might be there.
Yeah, just touch on a point there, just because I think the Give Us the Night campaign is really important, okay? And there needs to be more focus and more pressure on it. But the one thing that I'm watching it from afar, the one thing that seems to get missed and is slightly misunderstood is that this is a campaign in order to increase license scope for people to be able to drink longer. And for nights to go on, you know, like Copperface Jacks, there should be more of this. And we should be there till 6 o'clock in the morning. We should be able to go home and have a drink at 7 o'clock. That's not what it's about, really.
Yeah.
What it's about is creating spaces for people to be able to go and enjoy themselves listening to a DJ play. There's a big difference between somebody who goes out to a nightclub.
Has the message got lost there on
that? I think it has to a certain extent. There seems to be this...
Because we're tied up in lawyers and... late night legislation.
There's just this presumption.
Licensing and all that crap. Yeah.
There's two different things. There is a decline in Irish nightclubs for sure, 100%. You know, maybe there is a loss of appetite for that, but there is not a decline in the want for people to go out and experience something new.
Yeah.
So this weekend, for example, Three Arena, tomorrow night, BLK, Techno DJ, sold out in a few hours. Okay? RDS, Silo, Elro is the club. Big, huge extravaganza. It's all about the music.
Right.
Ultimately, it's all about the music. It's not about going out, getting a pint, having a few drinks and falling all over the place.
Okay.
So I think, I hope I'm right in saying,
Give
Us the Night is very much focused on that. So we need to stop thinking that this is about extending time for people to go and get drunk.
Sure.
That's not what it's about. It's about being able to go out and experience things, because we should be able to. You know, we should be able to go and see a DJ play. You might not think that it's great to go and watch somebody play some of the Aces records for 3 hours, but people enjoy it.
Sure.
It's a big thing.
There's a few texts in. We'll let us have a look at them. Bobby, fair play to that lady only playing vinyl. Nothing sounds as good. That comes in from Jay. Do any of your funky guests play slow sets? I really miss them. That's from Pauline. Now, there's somebody from my generation. What about the slow set, Robbie?
Oh, well, things are getting faster and faster in the clubs these days, Bobby. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think it is a really interesting aspect, because even the slow set and even the idea of the dance hall, like, is in the precedent, even what Mark is talking about. Like, I think the idea of Irish people going out late and socialising late, this isn't a new thing to Irish society. Like, you can Google, like, dance hall posters from 1950s and 1960s, and you'll see dances advertised for Cara Servine going until 3 o'clock on a Wednesday night, you know? So like, again, kind of to Mark's point, that's kind of what this is all about. It's about people going out and being together and having that physical social infrastructure where they can mix and mingle with other people in real life, which is becoming an increasingly a luxury in the society that we live in, you know. And I think it's interesting that we kind of reframe these things as if sometimes that they've never happened before. But as you say, like, the slow set used to be kind of an integral part of social life in Ireland, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
Well, another texter asked, do you need a license to be a DJ? I presume you don't, do
no,
you?
No, thank God.
But if, you have enough legislation. Yeah. But interesting though, if you're, just say you're tasked with coming on after a wedding when a band is finished and a DJ comes on for the next piece, which I have to say I absolutely love. Just talk to me a little bit about that world, knowing the room, knowing what to play, sensing the crowd. Talk to me about that, Mark.
Yeah, I haven't done any weddings.
Why?
Just not my thing, but it's the same thing. It's about reading the room and seeing what, you know, people are going to work and being able to adapt to the situation. Yeah. So you might find yourself, luckily I've never been in a situation where I've gone in and it's been completely foreign to what, you know, I'm ready to play or whatever. But look, everybody loves music, and there's tracks that I'm playing today that I played 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so they're still as big as they were. And sure, look, yeah.
I think your slow sets, that we would call them warm-ups.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I and because of the lack of nightclubs, I do a lot of restaurants and play and bars and that. And it's really about people are just coming in. They're having their first drink. They're having a chat. You're playing background music so they can talk. And you just bring
so
it up
really
through the night.
You really have to have an ability to read the room.
Absolutely.
Regardless of what room you're in.
And you kind of know, they're still chatting. They're not ready to dance yet.
So you do it through whatever music you decide to play.
Yeah, or you might warm up for a guest or an international DJ coming, you know, which is important as well, you know, like the early part of the night and then obviously the more.
I think those settings as well, like, then it's kind of like when you're playing in clubs or even if you're playing in a hotel or a restaurant or whatever, you kind of understand the setting in which you're playing. To be honest, weddings, I've played a good few weddings in my time. Weddings are some of the most challenging dance floors to play for because you end up having a dance floor.
Drunk uncles and all that
stuff. The thing is, because typically when you're playing a gig, you'll have at least a crowd of people who have a similar taste and what they're looking for. Whereas when you're playing at a wedding, you're going to have 100 people who all have a very clear idea of what they want, but none of them have the same idea. So it's when you're trying to cater for those kind of dance floors, it becomes a little bit tricky.
Well, look, I love it. And I really, really am refreshed and energized having spoken to the three of you here today. You're great ambassadors for your craft. I'm sorry the landscape isn't a bit better out there. Hopefully it'll improve.
Yeah, just sorry, I missed a point there. And it's only right to say that, like, on one side, on one end, we've got, you know, the wedding and the nightclub. And it goes further than you asked, is it a viable business? It absolutely 100% is. You know, it would be wrong to not mention Belters Only, who are a group that have come together and they've broken out of this country. They've cracked the UK. They're heading across to Europe all summer. They're doing huge dates, huge festivals.
Well,
it's big business.
Big thanks to my guests, Mark McCabe, Aoife McKenna and Robbie Kitt, a.k.a. Orchid. Welcome and thank you again for letting us into your world.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.